Welcome to the James River Church podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
It's great to be at prayer meeting, isn't it? Are you glad you're at prayer meeting? I'm glad to be at prayer meeting. I mean, it's just, what's better than being in the presence of the Lord? And you know, we come into the prayer meeting and we come to pray for things we need, obviously nothing wrong with that. And we come to pray for the needs of others because there's people counting on us to pray for them. And our intercession and our faith can win the battle in the lives of other people. So that's a wonderful thing to think about. And then to just enjoy the presence of the Lord. The Bible says, in your presence is fullness of joy. You know, the reason why a lot of people don't have joy is because even when they're in God's presence, they're more concerned about their own presence. And if we get our eyes off of ourselves and we get our eyes on enjoying the presence of the Lord, it changes us internally. It makes a difference. And then part of being in the presence of the Lord and something that we want to do and we want to cultivate, not just, and I think being in the advantage to a prayer meeting like this is you can sense what God is doing in the place and you can watch as leaders lead, whether it's on the worship team, whether it's the person leading at this point from the pulpit or it's the preacher, whoever's leading. You can sense what God is doing. Have you ever had that where you sense what God is doing and then you see it played out in the room? And part of that is learning how to sense the prompting of the Lord, which is a huge, huge thing. Because remember, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. So cultivating in our heart this receptivity to the Lord, this sense of what's happened, what God is speaking to us. And you know, here's the interesting thing about the Lord. Although God in and of himself, Father, Son, and Spirit, could be totally fulfilled in their fellowship just within themselves. God created us in his image that he might fellowship with us. God loves fellowship. God is not a recluse. God loves interaction. God loves interaction so much that right away when God creates man, God loves interaction with men and women so much that when he creates them, what's the Bible say he does? Right away, in the cool of the day, he comes to walk with them. That's the morning. It's the first part of the day. God wanted them to start their day just enjoying walking with him. You know, it's kind of been pretty amazing because this is before sin enters the world and with sin becomes a preoccupation. In other words, you're really absorbed with yourself and where you're at and what's going on in your world and how you're processing. But before sin enters the world, I mean, they're totally unabsorbed with self. So they're talking and with God, and God is talking with them. And then what's interesting, because sometimes we have the idea that God only wants to be around us if we're perfect. And that's not true. Because Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, remember? And God doesn't say, well, you know, you disobeyed me. That's how you are. I'm not talking to you. And I'm not suggesting, I mean, sin can interrupt our fellowship with God and diminish it. But it's not that God wants nothing to do with us. In fact, God comes running after us. Sin really blocks us from hearing from God. It doesn't block God from reaching out to us. So God comes, and God's talking to them. Well, what's God want to do? He wants to do good to them. I mean, he kills two animals so they can have clothing, and he says, hey, listen, for you to hang around here in the Garden of Eden is not going to be a good thing, because if you eat of the tree of life, you will live forever. And what a tragedy that would have been for Adam. Can you imagine? Adam lives almost a millennia. He lives 930 years. And for 930 years, he watches the devolution of humanity. And he realizes it's his fault. I can't think. I mean, that has got to have been one of the worst things in the world, to watch people do what they do when they're sinful and to think it didn't have to be that way. But I don't know. That's not the point of what I'm talking about. It's just something I thought a little bit about. But anyway, He wants to interact with people. He wants to talk to people. He wants to tell you what he's doing or wants to do or is going to do in your life, what he wants you to do. You know, it's interesting to me, you know, you go into, and you see it throughout Scripture, you go in Genesis, and in Genesis, you've got the story of the Lord visiting Abraham, and we can bring it up on the screen here, chapter 18. The Lord said, so now the Lord's come with two angels, and he's hanging out with Abraham, and they're just having a meal. This is very, very interesting. God has time to hang out. So they're hanging out. The Lord gets up to go. Abraham is walking with him down the path, down the road. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do, seeing that Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed for him, for I've chosen him, that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has promised. So God says to the angels, you know what? Shouldn't I clue Abraham in on what I'm thinking relative to Sodom and Gomorrah? That's such an interesting thing. That God delights in putting into our heart things that involve either what he's going to do or things that prepare us or things he wants us to do. So that's a big part of walking with God. That's a big part of learning to be in his presence. So that when you're quieting your heart, and for some reason, as we were sitting here during the worship and thinking about this, what I was going to share with you here, it popped in my mind when, right before the whole thing kind of blew up with the city council and the repeal thing a couple years ago. I mean, I don't know, it might have been more than a couple years ago that this happened. But I'm sitting and I'm reading my Bible and I'm in Luke chapter 6. And I get to the verse where Jesus, it's kind of the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus says, bless those who curse you, pray for those who despitefully use you. And as I'm reading it, it's like I get stopped there, and it's the Lord spoke to my heart, said, that is for you. Do that. I'm thinking, okay, who's cursing me? And who's mistreating me? I mean, I don't know who that is. And honestly, within 24 hours, I knew. You know what I mean? It was happening. And I kept going back to that. You see, the Lord likes to prepare us. The Lord likes to get us ready. The Lord likes to speak to us. And there's something about being in the presence of the Lord that when we come into his presence and we're not just spectating, but we're participating, we're not just watching other people have church or have an experience, but we're seeking God for an experience and we're dialing the receiver of our heart towards God. What happens is we're going to hear God speak to us things that others would miss. You know, Sunday's message, I thought one of the poignant parts of it is just this idea that Mary has spiritual insight and she knew what the others didn't know but should have known. Namely, she knew that Jesus was going to die. I mean, Jesus had said it over and over again in Mark chapter 9, one example of it. He was teaching his disciples, saying to them, so he's explaining to them, he's teaching. He's not just, he did say it at times in passing, but not this time. This time, he's saying, I want to teach you something. I want to explain something to you. I want to give you background on this. I want you to understand it. So it's really hard to imagine how they could have missed that whole deal. But the fact of the matter is, Peter misses it, John and James miss it, Andrew misses it, Thomas misses it, Nathaniel misses it, all these people miss it. I mean, they all totally miss it. But not Mary. Mary, she hears, she knows. She knows what they never seem to get. The question is, how does she know that? This is a woman who loves God more than most. It's a woman who she wants to be in the presence. When Jesus is near, she drops everything. She drops everything. I mean, remember in Luke chapter 10, Martha and Mary, they're hosting Jesus for dinner at their house, and you have to believe that would be, he's arguably the most famous person in the land of Israel at that time. And he's in their house. Can you imagine if the most famous person in America was coming to your home for a meal? I mean, you would want it to be, you'd want it to be right. You'd want to do a good job of hosting them. And, you know, here's Jesus. He's there. Martha's killing herself. And Mary is dialed in. She is totally not worried. And Jesus affirms that. And then when you get to the story we read in Mark, you've got him at the home of Simon the leper. And here is Martha. She's not learned her lesson. It's not even at her house, but she's serving. You say, well, is that so wrong that she's serving? Let me just say this. That I think for a lot of people, the default to being in God's presence is to do something instead of just be something or be somewhere. There's some here, there are some of you, and bless your heart, we love that you serve, but you got the serving thing down. You just don't have the setting in his presence thing down. And you're missing the better part. And it's not either or, it's both and. But if you don't learn to sit in his presence and to quiet your heart, there's a lot of things that God could be teaching, he could be saying, he could be wanting you to get, and you're gonna totally miss it. That's why one of the things that's really important when we come into the prayer meeting is learning to really dial in into sense. And it's not a matter of being quiet. It's not that being quiet helps you automatically dial into the presence of the Lord, because the receiver in our heart doesn't need, I mean, God can be working very powerfully when there's great volume coming from the platform. He can be working very powerfully when somebody is in a very gregarious way preaching the word of God and teaching. He can be working very powerfully in people's hearts. So it's not a matter of, shh, I'm tuning my receiver. No, that's not how it works. It's your whole heart focused on him, whatever's happening, so that you are dialed in on what is the Lord doing in this moment, and you've got this Godward push in your heart. And really, honestly, that spiritual receptivity, you say, well, how do I get there? What do I have to do to cultivate that receptivity? I would suggest to you that one is time in his presence, on the one hand, but the other is a love for him and for his presence. And so back to that Tozer quote I shared with you, the greater the kingdom have been those who loved God more than others did, straight up. It's not, well, you know, Manish is more spiritually sensitive than Chris, or Kathy's more spiritually sensitive than Jenny. It's not, well, you know, he just has a better receiver. She just has a better receiver. No. The issue for all of us is this, and it's to me a very encouraging thing. The more I love God, the more I'll hear from God. Because honestly, the more I love God, the more I'm going to want to be with God. So maybe a question to ask each of ourselves. And we did this as a bit of an exercise in our pastor's prayer day as our opening for the day. I told him, listen, I want you to get alone with the Lord, and here's what I want you to do. I want you to ask the Lord, what is it that I need to do to love you more? Now, listen, we could all of us come up with a list of like 500 things that we could do that. But you know what I would suggest to you for most people? When I say, if I were to say to you, Shannon, what is it that you could do to love God more? I would say this is the norm. You would instantly know. Because even as I talk about loving God more, the Holy Spirit's working in your heart, and he's saying, because a lot of times it's stuff he's already talked to us about. You know, I want you to do this. I want you to, and whatever it is, it can be how you treat your mate. It could be, you know what? I want you to give up something that you're doing that isn't, it's not helping you. It's not sinful. It's just weighing you down. It's distracting you. Or I want you to read, or I think you know, because I think the Holy Spirit tells people. Because if you can love him more, watch this. I venture to suggest the one vital quality which they had in common was spiritual receptivity. So when people love him more, they're more spiritually receptive. And what happens is they had a spiritual awareness and they went on to cultivate it. See, whatever Jesus said, he who has will be given more. He who doesn't have even what he has will be taken from him. In other words, if you by faith begin to build on the thing that God gives you, and he gives everybody a measure of faith, and he gives everybody a receptivity initially, if you build on it, you'll grow in that. Now, let me qualify this. Spiritual awareness and receptivity does not equal spiritual infallibility. So we gotta help people, you know, just because you think that's what the Lord said, there's a process of growing in our ability to discern when at times we are not hearing correctly, because it's possible, and the art of maturity is learning when it's really the Lord and when it's just you telling yourself what you want to hear, or the enemy telling you what you want to hear. But they had a spiritual awareness, they went on to cultivate it, till it became the biggest thing in their life. Now I want to ask you this question. Is the biggest thing in your life hearing from God? Is the biggest thing in your life loving God? Can I just tell you that if loving him, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. When he's first, and seeking him is first, and loving him is first, and that's your pursuit, everything else takes care of itself. But if something else is first, other than that, then the wheels start coming off to one degree or another. So, what is it that you could do to love God more? And is an awareness of him the most important thing in your life? Cultivate it. I'm just telling you, it will revolutionize your walk with God and your experience of his working in your life. It will, listen, he's called us to a supernatural walk. He's called us to a supernatural experience. He's called us to a life of a fellowship with him, of a life that hears what he's doing, that sees what he's doing, so we can attend to what he's doing, and we can be, in the words of that proverb, most blessed. Not just somewhat blessed, most blessed.